WB4AIO, calling your station. Okay, KA2PTE, Kilo Alpha 2, Papa Tango Echo, this is WB4AIO, calling your station, and I'll make a transmission here. I have some line noise, it's not at its worst tonight, and your signal when you made your first call was above it, but when you made your last transmission I missed a couple of words. So I don't know if we have a good channel tonight or not. I could listen on the SDR. I could listen on one of the web SDRs, I guess, and maybe I could get rid of my line noise, and maybe I could pick a web SDR where you had a big signal too. I don't know how you come. You probably, with that antenna, you have a very high angle signal, and you. You might come in best on a web SDR that's closer to you. I suspect. I don't know that for a fact, but I suspect that. But how are you doing? I am doing well here, and I wonder if you made any more progress on your ham radio projects today, or if today has been a day of rest and recuperation. Now, I know from what you told me this morning, you didn't get much sleep last night, so maybe... I hope, anyway, you got some good rest, and that the rest of your day was productive. My wife and I went for a beautiful walk in the melting snow. It got up about 37 degrees today, and the sun was bright, and so the heavy snowfall we had the night before was melting all over the place, and rivulets of water were running down the streets, and the sun felt warm on our skin, even though the air was kind of cold. The sun felt warm, and we had fun. We had a lovely walk, and I got some things accomplished on my business today. So not a lot, but some. KA2PTE, there's beautiful hot cocoa is being delivered directly to my desk. Say hello to Steve.
Hi.
So there's my sweetheart saying hello to you, Steve. KA2PTE in the great state of New York. This is WB4AIO.
So I guess nothing's done since then.
heard it felt a little tired after going through the trees. It seems like it's a lot of work to do for some people.
KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Well, in addition to going for the walk, I did some projects that have nothing to do with ham radio, but have to do with some jobs I have taken on recently. So I did those, accomplished those things. And one of the jobs is outdoors. I'm taking care of some animals. It sounds strange, but there is an animal feeding station that I'm in charge of during the winter, and wildlife feed at this station. We've got many different kinds of wildlife that feed at this station, and it's my responsibility to keep it up, to keep the supplies in the storage facility and to feed the animals every day. So I did that, and it was nice enough where I could actually enjoy it. And also I was able to take my collie with me. We've got a big 75-pound beautiful rough collie named Otso, and he always is very helpful when I'm feeding the animals. I've got him to the point where he doesn't try to eat the animals' food. I say, not for you, Otso, not for you. And he, I won't say he's never made a mistake, but most of the time he does not make mistakes now. And so it's almost like having fun. It's almost like a romp in the woods, because it actually is right at the edge of the woods. Heck, right now I'm right at the edge of the woods myself. When I was out there, I noticed that there was some ice on the feed line, but it doesn't seem to be affecting the standing wave ratio of the station too much. It tunes up in more or less the same place. I think the resonant frequency right now is a little higher than where we are now, but that's okay. It's still... it's still under 2-to-1, so it's working okay. I could retune it, I guess. But as the weather changes, of course, the tuning changes too. I didn't get 100%, and I think you said you weren't getting me 100%, so maybe we should, wait for another time. But the line noise is not particularly strong tonight. I just wish I had an extra 10 dB from you. And I remember you told me earlier today that you... had replaced the cord for the 240 volts input into the Thunderbolts power supply because it was dry rotted. I remember you said that on CQ100 today. By the way, I want to make a little test here. I want to play. Right before you called in, I was doing something with the CQ100 recording. I haven't done any final editing yet, but I was taking out some silent parts. There were some silent parts where I forgot to press the right button, so while I was recording it. On CQ100, it's sort of a switch operation when I go from transmit to receive if I'm trying to record. And if I forget, then I got a problem. So on my next transmission, I'll do a little experiment. KA2PTE, and I'll play the recording. WB4AIO. Well, I don't hear anyone on there, Steve. Let me play a little bit of this recording, and you can tell me how it comes through. Here we go.
Anyhow, back to you. Thanks for doing that. Hope and pray that with the fact that made in China stuff is so poorly made, hopefully the end of life cycle is approaching whatever device that is anyway, so that when it finally breaks, that'll be... good for me without, you know, that much more noise taking place. And of course, you know, my next dream is that out of this coronavirus outbreak, that all the Chinese crap just stops coming into this country, period, and we have a suspension of trade and dealings with China. And, you know, until all of this is put in perspective, but I'm kind of cheating there. I shared what I was going to talk about later, but anyhow, back to you. Thanks for doing that test, and we'll see what you come up with as far as playing a clip and getting off on starting a discussion. So far, there's nothing coming over the QSO TV, so I'm guessing there's no other stations out there that want to participate. So back to you, Kevin, from KA2PTE.
So then there's a brief pause here while you wait for somebody to come back.
Okay, very good. KA2PTE, WB4AIO. All right. thank you for making the test. I did hear...
Okay, I guess that's enough of a test. You can tell me how that came through. Hey, I'm kind of distracted here. Can you hold on a few minutes? Quickly tell me how that came through, but then maybe let me... Let me do something for a couple of minutes here. Something's going on here at the house. KA2PTE, WB4AIO.
Wait till I'm here, so I'm on my way. Wait till I'm here, but oh,
Okay, KA2PTE, WB4AIO.
All right, Kevin, I still got you in there. You're about 5 overnight. The noise level is still kind of severe. It sounds like it's maybe diminishing a little bit, I'm not sure, but I still got you in there. Very readable. WB4AIO from
Okay, well, I'm copying you 100% now, too. It sounds like a station has moved in close to us, but you're still quite understandable, even with the interference. I wonder if you've given any more thoughts to doing a LibertyNet review here on HF. Maybe the signal path between us with your high noise level and me being way down here in Pennsylvania and your low power and 75 meter antenna, maybe it's not practical right now. And then you have that daytime noise level. So daytime 75 meters seems out. I don't know. Are we checkmated? And maybe we're checkmated and we have to be on CQ100, but I really do like being on HF radio and doing a LibertyNet review on HF radio really does appeal to me. I really need to get this amplifier fixed, though, because during my last rather long transmission, it started to beep at me, and beeping at me is the last stage before it finally cuts me off as it gets excessively hot. It's a water-cooled amplifier, and it has a couple of serpentine copper path, a copper pipe path. There's a copper pipe soldered to a copper plate, and it's a hollow, you know, copper pipe. Water passes through it, and it follows a serpentine path along this copper plate about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe five or six times back and forth across the copper plate. And the plate is attached to the output devices, the amplifier output devices. It's bolted onto them and supposedly absorbs the heat. But I just don't know if just 4 or 5 or 6 serpentine windings of a pipe is really enough to carry away the heat. And I'm worried that even if I get more powerful fans, that the number of serpentine paths across the heatsink plate is just not enough to carry away all the heat of the amplifier, no matter how powerful my fans are. So I am worried about that, because I'm certainly not qualified to make things out of copper pipe. I just don't have those skills. But I'm still determined to make this amplifier work the way I want it to work. And the way I want it to work is to let me make long old buzzard transmissions. KA2PTE. Are we checkmated? This is WB4AIO.
By ear, you know, I don't know. I don't think we're getting really noise, so
Oh, yeah, he did give me some advice, KA2PTE, WB4AIO. He wrote back to me, Victor is his name, RK3R, I think is his call sign, if I recall correctly. He makes the EB104 amplifier kits with a team he's assembled. And I think really the amplifiers are designed mainly for contesters, and he never really thought about AM or SSB operators wanting to talk for, 10 minutes straight, which people do on a current events discussion net, which people do on the Liberty Net. And I want to do that too. Not just on the Liberty Net, but also there are times when you're operating AM down in the AM window. And some of the guys operate quick break-in, it's true, and I like quick break-in. But a lot of the guys also like to make long, leisurely transmissions, the kind that Tim Tron calls old buzzard transmissions. But, I want to be able to do that if I so choose. And I don't want the thing beeping at me and cutting me off after 3 minutes or 5 minutes. I don't like that. I've always had rigs where I could basically talk as long as I wanted, and this is very, very annoying. Victor's advice to me was that I should lower the voltage on the power supply. But here's the problem. At the very high end of its power output range, this amplifier does go into some gain compression, and there's some intermod distortion, and I like to operate it way, way, way below that point so that it's very clean, if at all possible. And that means running it at the highest voltage possible. And that way I get the best linearity if I run it at lower power, if I don't stress it out to the maximum current. He says run it at a lower voltage, the efficiency will be higher, and it will have less heat generated. And I'm sure that's true, but I don't want to do that because then the gain compression will happen at lower power. And I will, if I want to run the same amount of power I'm running now, which is about 1100 watts, I'll have to tolerate some of that intermod that I don't want. And there's the beeping going off. So back over to you, KA2PTE, WB4AIO.
All right, Kevin, full copy there. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, sounds like a interesting issue to overcome. Power transistors, but at least length of the light. price of that, you know, they might be a little bit more, something that might be a little bit more resilient to heat, you know, might work better with that, and the manufacturer of those transistors that you want to contact to see if they've got anything better than that. But, I think, it's better than that, rather than that already. That's something I would just picture of and put out there in case it's helpful. WB4AIO from KA2BTE.
Okay, I think I heard somebody tuning up there. Maybe somebody's going to join us in a few moments. KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Yes, they're made by NXP. They're MRF1K50Hs, and they're just about indestructible. I think they'll take something like a 400 degrees centigrade without self-destructing and 200 to 1 SWR or some crazy ratings like that, like way more than you'd ever get. But I suppose the other components on the PA board would not survive 200 degrees centigrade. That's probably too much to ask. So probably they're protecting the other components just as much or more than they're protecting the MRF1K50Hs with this temperature. I do think maybe the temperature overload, which is set for 65 degrees centigrade, is too low. And I have done some experiments, as you suggest, Steve. I've gone in there and I've actually made a long transmission and I've just ignored the beeping and let the thing go up to about 95 degrees centigrade. And nothing burned up, but there was like a faint smell of like something overheating. You know, that faint overheated electronic smell you get. And I didn't really like that. But part of my experiment is to put bigger fans on it. It already has fans. It has a push-pull fan blowing through the water cooling radiator. It looks like an automobile radiator, except a lot smaller. And I've got two much higher capacity fans. They're about four times the CFM rating as what I've got in there. They're 240 instead of 60 CFM. So I'm going to put a couple of those in there, provided they'll fit. They're a little thicker. I think they'll fit. And maybe at some point I'll try to blow a fan right onto the PA board. But the PA board itself is strictly water cooled. They pump the water through those serpentine pipes, which are attached to the big copper block. And then the water is pumped through that radiator looking structure. And then the fans blow strictly on the radiator. One blows into the radiator and one pulls air out of the radiator and out of the amplifier cabinet. And I'm just worried that the serpentine water pipes, there just aren't enough of them on the board to carry away all the heat. That may be a design flaw. And I'd hate to think, I mean, and conceptually, I can think, I could redesign it. Conceptually, I know what to do. Instead of making, you know, four little serpentine loops or whatever it is, make 40. And that would carry away a lot more heat. But fabricating it is something I don't have a lot of time for, and I have zero experience with doing, so I probably have to hire it out. So anyway, I'm hoping that the bigger fans do the trick. But I have, and another thing I'm planning on doing is replacing the overload sensors, which are the same kind they have in other pieces of gear like stoves and things like that, replacing the 65 degree sensors with 95 degree centigrade sensors. And I think that by itself would let me make longer transmissions. Whether it would reduce the life of some of the components is another thing to worry about. So thank you very much for your thoughts, though. It's always good to get another perspective, and I know that you have a lot of experience with these things. There's no actual fins on the heatsink, though. The heatsink is strictly depends on those water pipes, Steve. KA2PTE and the great LibertyNet Review. This is WB4AIO.
WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, interesting. Yeah, if you get a chance, shoot a couple of pictures over to the web resource. You know, it'll be interesting to see what they're doing there. But yeah, if the transistors are really super rated like that, that probably should be a problem. but you could also monitor, you know, if you get it into a sort of a groove where it's either improved or working perfectly like you want it to, you could periodically check those transistors on the back of them. There's probably some heat sink compound, because if that stuff is heated up, you know, more than it was anticipated to, that could dry out a little sooner, you know, and then you've got less dissipation going on. Another thing that would be maybe interesting to check there is to see what kind of compound they're using, because there's a lot of these geek types, I guess you call them, out there that are putting the silver, platinum, heatsink compound used on computers. You know, they're putting that there. I always stick to just the plain white. It's called Dow 340. That white compound is, you know, that's always been used. And it's a little slow to the get-go. You know, the optic silver and all that stuff they use on the computers, it's got a very fast heat transfer time. The white is a little slower, but I think the white lasts longer. I don't know, to me anyway. I'm not sure. I haven't really used any of that fancy stuff, so you might want to try that, or at least send it to the engineer, you know, that you're in touch with. And also, you know, while you're at it, mention your idea about the better cooling system, you know, because who knows? He might have the resource there, you know, where he could get a prototype made, you know, and get it over to you, and you can test it, because if it turns out that something, you know, a better feature to the amplifier, it might help us sell more than if you find out that this could be an upgrade, you know, for making longer transmissions. You know, it could be as simple as just upgrading the heat sink as an accessory. So you might want to run that by him, because, you know, if he's serious about his brand name, you know, he might have that interest to do something like that. But yeah, I guess if you took the sensor off or moved the range, I guess, I don't know if you can program the shutoff range or not, whatever. I don't know how you changed it, but if you were able to make the long transmissions, if you smelled something that was a little like the cooking a transistor or a diode smell, it'd be hard to say, because I guess it depends on if that
Interesting problem to overcome with the linear, but it sounds like you've got a grasp on what the problem is and a couple of different solutions to resolve it. So that's a step in the right direction. Anyhow, if anyone else is out there and wants to join the queue, so just jump right in. And right now it's WB4AIO and KA2PTE and the informal LibertyNet, and we had a LibertyNet review session earlier that maybe Kevin might play some clips for. If anybody out there is a LibertyNet fan or is listening, step forth and say hello. Otherwise, back to Kevin.
This is definitely not the LibertyNet.
Yeah, go ahead.
How you doing, Jeff?
Yeah, this is definitely the informal LibertyNet, and the LibertyNet is something I've been involved with since 1987. WB4AIO for ID. What'd you say?
Jesse, is that you?
And the man you can check with to confirm my participation since 1987 is W1WCR. I guess that was just a drive-by, Steve.
I think
he was doubling with you for a second there, but I couldn't understand what he said.
Oh, roger that. KG4ZXC from KA2PTE, do you copy?
Well, if it was he just hates me because a lot of lies have been told about me to him over the telephone. That's really what it's all about.
All right, did I double with him again?
No, I don't think he did. I think it was just that once. He said something, it was unintelligible, and then he disappeared.
Oh, roger that. Yeah, he said it's not the LibertyNet, so, yeah, I don't know. I can only speculate. I don't know. He hasn't said anything to me in a while, so I guess the fact that I'm Q-stone with you probably has something to do with it. I don't know, but I'd like to be a little bit open-minded and talk to him and others about it. Jesse's kind of new to the LibertyNet, so this kind of stuff, that happens with you and Marty, I guess it's got its collateral damage still, ongoing. I'm trying to just sort of put it in perspective and still keep the net moving in the right direction and have it, still have some kind of decent momentum, from week to week is really all I'm trying to get going. And, I guess the concept is still available, that if anybody wants to show up here one night and just air it all out, get it all out in the open, there's no better way to get over something than to actually get it out of your system by talking about it. It's not going to cure, 100% of the problem, but it definitely gets things in better perspective. I don't understand why, Oldest running around and sort of just, being covert. I don't know if that's really going to accomplish much, but we use you as ham radio as an opportunity to get together and communicate. So we could use it in that fashion and see what happens. You know, it doesn't really, it's not like, I don't think anything is going to get worse, you know, by trying. You know, it could maybe improve, get it in perspective better, but it seems like not a lot of people are interested in doing that in order to give it a shot. So I'm at a loss, but I don't have anything against Jesse. He's a man. He decides, you know, what he wants to do. You know, that's why God gave us brains to put them in our heads, you know, to make decisions for ourselves. You know, I never hold it against anybody, you know, for deciding what they want to do, what's best for them. But I'm just trying to keep the Liberty Net moving in the best direction that I see fit, and I don't see any kind of trouble at the moment, you know, having the Q-Show with you and talking about hey, radio, getting stations together, antennas. You know, it's common amateur, you know, topics of interest. So, what more could you ask for? You know, that's where we're at. Anyway, if anybody else is out there and wants to make a comment, go right ahead. Otherwise, I guess back to you, Kevin.
Okay, nobody heard. KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Yeah, I'd like to be friends with Jesse. I've tried to QSO with him a couple of times, and I tried to email him, and he reacted somewhat hysterically. Poor Jesse. But, a reasonable person would want to hear both sides of the story. And that's, what more can I say than that? If somebody tells you that somebody else is the devil, I think you should suspect that maybe there's some kind of ulterior motive going on and want to hear what the other fellow has to say. So I'll just say, I'd like to be friends with Jesse. I'd like to talk to Jesse. And I'd like to explain my side of the story to Jesse. And secondly, I don't want to obsess about that particular issue. My main focus, and I think anybody who listens to me on the Liberty Net, when I'm on the Liberty Net, and anybody who listens to my Liberty Net recordings, which I make every week, twice a week actually, maybe three times a week if the Liberty Net Review recordings take off, is just to carry on the purpose that Vic W1WCR founded the net for, and that is the discussion of important ideas, the discussion of current events, and the promotion of truths that maybe the mainstream media don't allow out there. And that's the reason I got on the Liberty Net, for the freedom of speech and for the ideas, and that's the reason why I'm continuing to be a part of it. So that's what that's all about. And by the way, Steve, that was a great idea of talking to Victor about making a new heatsink board and maybe doubling the number of serpentine, I don't know what the word for those is, but channels, not channels, but serpentine turns. I'll just call them turns. The turns or the serpentine windings of the heatsink tubing that's soldered onto that board. If I could just increase that, that would probably carry away a lot more heat. So asking him to do it, and maybe for the good of his company, doing it for free, or maybe I would pay a reasonable amount of money to be able to make longer transmissions and have better heatsink capabilities. That is really a great idea, and thank you for that, Steve. KA2PTE, WB4AIO, and on the next turn, I'll try playing a little bit more of the Liberty Net.
All right, Kevin, good copy there. Yeah, all right, sounds good. The idea about the modified cooling system, you know, it should really, you know, fall on receptive ears there if it's a serious kind of company endeavor, because you're actually more or less finding an issue with the gear that nobody else probably found, and that's usually important from a design and engineering concept, you know, product marketing, is to find out what's wrong. And, you know, most companies, well, back in the old day, you know, they would probably already maybe have supplied a solution, something like that, or at least, kept after you to say, you know, how is your problem going? But
being it's a Russian company, I'm not sure, you know, how their support is. I've never bought anything from other than a U.S. company, really, so I wouldn't know. But technically, you know, it should be like something where they say, wow, this is like a great find. And yeah, his idea about getting a better cooling system designed to fit in there, you know, should be something they could try to get, usually like a sample of it from a whoever their vendor is that's making that, I don't know, but they could get something that's going to provide better cooling, you know, with some more, I know what you're talking about, it's more or less like turns around the copper pipe or something like that. It's just you're adding some more mass in there so that there's more airflow, I guess, past the surface area, more or less. So if they could do that, they get rid of those in, and then you test it, you know, you're basically doing their work for them. You know, you're sort of improving the product for them, so nothing should really be charged to you technically at all, because you're sort of improving a product of theirs, you know, which is priceless. Because if this is successful, you know, they offer that as an accessory, and it makes their product look a lot better. So that's at least in the American way, you know. I know from experience doing electronic work and some engineering work here and there, I get involved in similar to this, where we'd improve a product and you know, the manufacturer didn't you know, charge me anything to do with the work. You're doing all the heavy lifting mostly for them. So it'll be interesting to see what their response is. See if the Russian concept of capitalism is compatible with the U.S. But I guess you're sort of already prepared to pay something for it. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that turns out. Anyway, I guess we'll see later on what happens with that. But yeah, if you want to make a couple of transmissions of the LibertyNet last night or the LibertyNet review that we did earlier today, I don't have a problem with that, as long as I guess it's got to be about 3 minutes, I guess, 3 minute clips. So over to you, WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, very good, Steve. Let's see how this comes through. I'm going to run this without any EQ at all, so that it comes through pretty much the same way it sounded on the receiver to begin with. And this is just a test. I don't even know who's talking at this point, but this is just a test to see if this comes through okay.
As it goes, to the U.S. advise against any travel to China as the number of cases expands. Coronavirus has infected almost 10,000 people globally.
Wow, 10,000 people, that's a lot. Okay, that's Larry. Let's try this.
So
that's Larry also. Let me try the next part.
...than white or black donors, and they think this explains why this coronavirus pandemic and previous SARS pandemic are concentrated in the Asian area. And they give some graphs and some statistics. You can go to this site. It's called, BioRxiv.org.
Okay, I've never been to that site, BioRxiv.org. It sounds interesting. I played that on the LibertyNet review earlier today, as you recall, and I wonder if it's coming through just as clearly over HF radio as it did over CQ100. I think when I play the CQ100 QSO, I should run it through the EQ, though. That means I have to change my audio routing slightly to do that, to run it through the EQ. That was not through the EQ. That's just dead flat, the same way it was transmitted by KO4FE and N4ROQ. So anyway, I regard that as an experiment. We certainly did have an interesting discussion of the coronavirus and the idea of open borders being a threat is something I think needs to be emphasized when it comes to infectious diseases. Open borders are definitely a danger, no matter what the infectious disease is. KA2PTE, WB4AIO, how did that come across? Okay, I changed my audio routing, so I'm going through the EQ now. Let's see. Okay, now let me switch over to the other recording, and let's see how you come through, if I can find a place with you on it.
Hope and pray that with the fact that made in China stuff is so poorly made, hopefully the end-of-life cycle is approaching whatever device that is anyway, so that when it finally breaks, that'll be good for me without, you know, that much more noise taking place. And of course, you know, my next dream is that out of this coronavirus outbreak, that all the Chinese crap just stops coming into this country, period, and we have a suspension of trade and dealings with China. And, you know, until all of this is put in perspective, but I'm kind of cheating there. I shared what I was going to talk about later. But anyhow, back to you. Thanks for doing that test, and we'll see what you come up with as far as playing a clip and getting off on starting a discussion. So far, there's nothing coming over the QSO TV, so I'm guessing there's no other stations out there that want to participate. So back to you, Kevin, from KA2PTE.
Okay, so that was you on the LibertyNet review on CQ100, the Virtual Ionosphere program. If people want to know what that is, it's a way of amateur radio operators to communicate, even if they don't have a working rig or an HF antenna available. They can simulate it and have QSOs with other amateurs who are also using CQ100 in a very similar manner to an HF transceiver, except for one thing. Reception is always perfect. There may be less participation up on CQ100, but reception is always perfect. And Steve and I have been trying to generate some interest in the LibertyNet by reviewing the previous night's LibertyNet on Sunday mornings on CQ100. Also thought of doing it on 75 meters right on HF radio in the mornings, but Steve's got some kind of a device that is producing a tremendously high noise level on 75 during the day, so we weren't able to try that. Maybe if you could figure out what the device is, you could put a contactor in series with the AC line that feeds that device, and then whenever you have your transceiver on in the receive mode, it would just open that contactor and kill the noise. And then when you went to the transmit mode, then there power would be restored and they could do whatever they were doing with their noisemaker. And whenever your transceiver's turned off, they could do whatever they were doing. But when your sacred transceiver is on and in the receive mode, that contactor would open up. KA2PTE, WB4AIO.
All right, Kevin, copy that. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, if I could rig up some kind of relay, normally closed, normally open, or something like that, to the back of the Yaesu, and then run a really long wire to wherever it is, I don't know, but there's a lot of commercial places around here that could be, you know, responsible for it. And I know since day one, when I had this station operating on day one, you know, it was we
we finished installing the antenna in the daytime. I think it was on a Sunday, and you know, the noise level was terrible on the 80 meter band, because the antenna is resonant for 80 meters. So you know, the idea was to mainly operate on 80 meters, but it was clearly going to be very noisy, you know, since day one during the day. But I think that what we did was we tested it on, I think, 40 meters, and we got better results then. Actually, Marty, N2IRJ, he was the first station we tried to get in touch with. The fellow that helped set my station up is N1SP. So I remember him calling, you know, N2IRJ during the daytime, you know, and Marty was like, you know, It's really a nighttime band. I don't think it'll work, but I'll try, you know. And I think he heard us very, very down to the noise level, but it was not really discernible at all. But later on, I think when the daytime started to become nighttime, we had a little better contact for a while. But Marty was completely wiped out. He was up the prior night. He kind of stuck it out the to try to make me happy, you know, on my first day of getting an HF station operational. So that was fun. But the situation with the noise during the day, you know, has always been an issue. So I guess I'm sort of used to it by now. But yeah, we could try just, bringing that review here, you know, on the informal Liberty Net. I don't see too many stations here lately, like I've seen before. So I don't know, you know, what the consensus is. You know, it's sort of just, maybe it's just sort of like a open topic kind of thing. You know, whoever shows up here and whatever, you know, people have going on is fine. You know, seems like that's always been the case. So we could always try doing it here, you know, and see what happens. But you know, I guess but there's already one person that's cast their vote that I guess they don't like this going on here. So we have one person, I guess is in objection. You know, that would be Jesse KG4ZXT, I believe it was. But I don't know how the other people feel about it. It is sort of the Liberty Net, you know, we're trying to build on what little momentum we have, you know, between the two of us, but it doesn't seem like it's going to have any effect. I'm not sure, you know, but, you know, you've been a Liberty Net person for so long. I hate to see all that, you know, stuff be relevant or important. You know, you got all those recordings, and you got a resource there for people to go to, and you know, it should count for something. I'm trying to, you know, give credit where credit's due for that, but I don't know. I just, so again, I thought, you know, it would be good to have all that stuff, you know, aired out in the open, you know, where at least people get to say, you know, what they want to say right to the person that, you know, they feel, you know, is where the issues lie, you know, and get it out of their system, you know, because I think keeping it in, I don't know if that's really the healthiest thing to do. So maybe one day that'll happen, but for now, I guess this is where it's at. But if you want to play a couple more clips, that's fine. If anybody else out there wants to join, and Kermit, of course, you know, it's amateur radio. You know the routine. Otherwise, back to 7WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, very good. KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Well, as you know, Steve, every time you've suggested or anybody suggested we talk about any of these issues, I've been 100% open to it and willing to do it and indeed anxious to do it. And I know some people don't want to talk about it, and I can sympathize with that. It's not a Liberty Net topic, and it's kind of a downer. But and I don't talk about it much. Actually, I hardly ever talk about it. Maybe I've talked about it twice on the air or something like that. But I'm willing to talk about it in any venue, really. And as I did for you and for KJOY, I'm willing to provide photographic proof that some of the crazy things that have been said about me aren't true. And I can provide absolute proof of that. And willing to do it for anybody who's interested. So that's all I'll say on that. I don't think I'm going to play any more clips, but I did want to comment on the last clip I played, which was your statement about not doing business with China. And the way it is now, you either do business with the third world. I guess it doesn't have to be China, but basically you if you're in manufacturing, you either do business with the third world or you go out of business. I mean, there may be a few exceptions to that in fields where there's certain heavy transportation costs and very heavy weight equipment being made. There may be an exception to that. For the most part, though, if you don't engage in trade with the third world and you're in the manufacturing business, electronics, other lightweight stuff, you will be driven out of business, or at very least you'll be marginalized into a very small niche market of some kind. And that's because of free trade. That's because of free trade policies. When you have free trade policy, where not only do you have an open border for immigration and migration and invasion, but you have open borders economically, that's what free trade is. People who want to employ labor love that because they can employ the cheapest labor for any given kind of labor they need. And that means that the people who are willing to live in dog cages and work for $10 a day and a handful of rice are always going to underbid the normal American worker or the normal European worker, people of our culture and civilization aren't willing to live that way. Just not willing to do it. We're not willing to work for that low wages. We're not willing to live like that. And so we'll always be underbid. And so you simply can't have free trade, or you're going to end up with a situation like that. And so I really think that we shouldn't have free trade. We should only have trade with countries that treat their workers decently. And really, we should only have trade with countries that are part of our civilization and culture. Otherwise, we're always going to be underbid, and we're always going to be sending our wealth, a large portion of our wealth, overseas to people who aren't necessarily on our side in this dangerous world we live in. And so therefore, I think free trade is a disaster on several levels. And you know what? To the people who say, well, I can't get my electronics done if I have to pay workers $15 or $25 an hour, guess what? We'll just have to pay more for electronics. There are more important things than your profit margin, pal. And to the people who say, oh, I can't get my grapes picked for my vineyard or my winery or my produce business or my farm. I can't get my crops picked unless I can bring in migrant labor, cheap labor. I can't do it. Well, you know what? That's wrong. You just have to pay more, pal. You have to pay what your own people are willing to accept to do that work. Yeah, we might all have to pay more for produce. We might all have to pay more for quite a few things, but guess what? We'll gain national security, we'll gain prosperity in the long run, and we'll be self-sufficient and protected from all kinds of dangers, and coronavirus is just one of them. KA2PTE, WB4AIO.
Okay, Kevin, very good. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, thanks for that. Extended commentary on the statement I made about China. You kind of drove the concept a couple of steps further there, and at first it sounded like you were saying that unfortunately, you know, we're going to have to face the music, that we're always going to have to deal with these third world
companies, but you did a 180, and you said, you know, here's what would happen if we were able to be self-sufficient, basically. And I've always thought that's a better way of going. You're self-sufficient on your own, and so you don't, you know, yeah, in that case with the farmer, so you don't get all the crops, you know, maybe you get, I don't know, 50% of them done, but they're at a higher price, and that money basically stays in the local area. It's not going to go, you're not going to be paying your migrant workers who, you know, there's been studies that the migrant workers take something like 80 to 90%, some cases all of the money that they make here, they take it right out of the country and it goes back to their country. And, you know, the migrant workers get, you know, pretty significant salaries in some cases. You know, they're, some of them that are like, you know, smart and on the ball, and they'll get $15 an hour, you know. Some of us don't even get $15 an hour, you know, for temporary work. But, yeah, that to me sounds like a better way of doing it. It would be harder to get your average consumer to accept the fact, you know, that the prices are going up. But if they realize that they're going up and they're being, the money is being put back into the local economy's pockets, you know, and maybe even getting a better quality product out of it in the end, you know, which is almost unheard of, because used to be you could call a manufacturer, whether it's a food product or electronic item or, you know, whatever it is, and you could actually supply food back and get a, maybe, you know, it could go toward developing a better quality control system or something like that, where you actually see, you know, and in some cases people used to give them ideas and you'd see, you know, another product produced, you know, with that idea, you know, so, there used to be that kind of transparency, but not anymore. You know, the concept of actually giving feedback and actually seeing, you know, any kind of results from the consumer side is very far and few between, at least in my experience. They're not that receptive on that idea anymore. And I think a lot of it is because the products are produced in another country, so it, you know, you've got the language barrier to overcome, and then, you know, the they're saying, you know, well, why should we make the better product, and, you know, it's not really going to help us, I mean, it's going to help the Americans, it's not going to help Canada, you know, so wherever the item is being produced, but, yeah, that would be the way to go. That sort of is, I guess, you know, the concept behind a nationalist economy. It's also, you know, the idea about having local small businesses, you know, several local small businesses cooperating together, which is more or less, you know, why they had chambers of commerce, you know. They still do, but a lot of them aren't really savvy about, you know, what they're trying to do. It's really a lost art to try to have a chamber of commerce in a town or a city somewhere, you know, and have some kind of a foothold or some kind of concept these days. It's supposed to be promoting the local stuff, but in a lot of cases, you know, the state and the government wind up getting involved in that, and they foul that up. They can't really be, even a small business person that, you know, maybe have their business handed to them through mom and pop or, you know, other difficult ways of keeping a small business afloat, you know, they're completely disconnected from that mentality. None of them have had to work for anything like that, you know, in their lives, you know, but in a lot of cases, the other unfortunate thing about it is your business and your industries and your businesses and other things related to it seem to get, what, subsidized by the government? That's what I never really, I could never really figure that one out. You know, it happened sort of in my trade with the consumer electronic repair, when it got to be such a huge, you know, they must have done some research and determined, you know, that it's a very profitable trade to be in. The government decided to subsidize it through insurance companies, so the insurance company said, well, if you're going to go in somebody's home and try to fix their TV, you need a $6 million insurance policy. So to fix one TV, you know, they're saying you could conceivably do, I guess, $6 million worth of damage somehow with that question at home by trying to fix that TV. I don't know. I never should have gotten in there. Once I got in there, once I got an inch, you know, it was only a matter of time, you know, and that's sort of what governments do. You know, they get their hands on a trade, they either subsidize it that way, or they license it, you know. One thing, if it was licensed or subsidized by people that knew something about that field, like if I was successful in this trade and I was retired, I could go on that board and I could sort of be a source of experience and wisdom that, you know, other people entering the trade that are younger, you know, can be some kind of a guide to that, you know. They can see, you know, well, there's actually somebody in this trade, in the government, you know, so that would be a comfort to them, you know, and, but that just doesn't happen, you know, you could be in business in a certain trade, you know, whether it's plumbing, electrical, or carpentry, you could encounter a problem and, you know, it's up to somebody else in government, you know, to decide the outcome of it. It's not up to you, it doesn't matter, you know, you've got 25, 30 years in the trade, and, you know, you know what you're doing, and, you know, you get one person that, you know, they ruined your reputation and they create a lot of problems, you know, so there's that aspect to it, but, you know, I'd rather have that than the system they have now where it's all free trade, you know, like you said, anybody, you know, that's sort of what I've been faced with my business is the idea that China might as well be set up in, you know, across the street. You know, they're you know, thousands of miles away overseas, but they have just as much power as somebody that, you know, another mom and pop set up across the street doing the same business, like following in my footsteps for, you know, 20 years or so. You know, it's like having a competitor or several competitors, you know, right next door. It's just amazing that, you know, not a shot got fired, you know, with so much technology spent appropriated by the Chinese, you know, when you think about, you know, the efforts of Tesla and Edison and, you know, your RCA TVs and, you know, all your electronic inventions and stuff that originated here, you know, it's almost like it's become property of China. It's been appropriated and mass-produced to the point where, you know, your average person looking at it is blind and says, well, you know, China owns everything, you know, to deal with technology, you know, it's all, quote, made over there. You know, this country gets absolutely no credit for inventing anything like that. You know, the item, the component that it's all based on, it wasn't invented in China, Russia, Germany, or Japan, or anywhere. It was invented here in the United States, so, you know, there's been a lot of appropriation of technology, and, that's just doing service and repair on electronics, you know, getting a handful of clients locally, which I try to do, but it's so hard because the government is here, they still have their claws on a lot of things, but that's really the first step, you know, towards regaining your national identity, you know, in terms of being, third world country, so everything, but like you say, it's true, you know. They're just really a lot of the
flood land that they have over there is infertile as a result of pollution. So, you know, I think in the end, you know, it's just a matter of time. There's the big Chinese machine is going to come to a grinding halt, and a lot of people are going to be just left, you know, without any income. You know, I don't know whether they're planning on that or not, but
okie dokie, KA2PTE and the Informal Liberty Net. This is WB4AIO near the Great Forest of Western Pennsylvania. Yeah, a lot of food for thought there, Steve. And you've been in the trenches. You've been in the electronics industry, and you know what the competition is like. And you know, it may have sounded like I made a 180, but let me explain the first half of my comments about these companies in the manufacturing field. It could be electronic manufacturing. It could be a lot of different fields. They have to do business with the third world. Basically, they have to employ cheap non-white labor, basically. They employ third world labor or go out of business. And the reason is if they do the moral, responsible, right thing, and they do not employ third world labor, then their labor costs will be higher for the same product as everybody else's who is willing to employ third world labor. So therefore, if we have a society in which we have free trade, the businessman who is a moral, honorable, upstanding person is driven out of business. His profits are reduced and he's undercut by the cheap labor users. The people who do the wrong thing will undercut him in price because they've got cheaper labor. And so it's a free trade capitalistic system. When you add free trade to free enterprise, you reward the immoral people who don't care about their own country and their own workers, and you punish and drive out of business the good people who try to do the right thing. And that's why we can't have free trade. Free trade and the survival of our people and the survival of any kind of America or Europe that's recognizable as America or Europe are not compatible. Free trade is not compatible with the survival of our kind and our civilization. It's as simple as that. So I really wasn't making a 180. I was just saying that the present system of free trade forces the good people to suffer and to go out of business. And so the only way you can stay in business in many cases is you have to become one of the bastards who employs third world cheap labor. You have to. You either import the third world cheap labor here into this country through our porous borders, or you just employ it overseas. And you see it everywhere. You see it in customer service, offshoring of customer telephone contact. You see it all over the place. So that's what I was talking about. Not really a 180, but just trying to make my point in a way that it's usually not made. So anyway, great to talk to you, Steve. I'm going to sign out. I have some things to do before I sleep. It's been wonderful to talk to you. I'm glad that the line noise subsided and I can hear your 100 watts with the 75 meter antenna. Okay, KA2PTE WB4AIO saying 73, and good luck in the contest.
Hey, wait a minute. This is W1WCR checking in.
Oh my goodness.
Victor, W1WCR from KA2PTE, how you copy it?
My copy is, it's not as loud as last time, but it's copyable.
Wow.
Very good. You're sounding good here. I got you at about 5 over 9, and I'm just going with Kevin WB4AIO. We're talking about some Liberty Net stuff that we're doing here and there. We got another sort of a net going on Sunday on the CT100 platform, and we're calling it the Liberty Net Review. And we're playing some recordings that took place on Saturday night on that. We're trying to get some more check-ins from this access system so far. We haven't had any luck, but Kevin's been recording our. This is what I've been talking about. Kevin's been recording our commentary and signing off, so right now it's just him and I don't know if it's Kevin going down to the top. He's one of them, both of you.
Wow, it's great to hear you, Vic. W1WCR, WB4AIO. Wow, that's wonderful. Welcome.
Yeah, it's quite nice to hear you, too. You're blasting in there. What kind of antenna are you running?
This is an inverted L Marconi antenna, 150 feet in total length, with two elevated radials and fed with open wire line.
Well, it's done a tremendous job. Also elevating your signals.
Yeah, that's great. I've got an amplifier that overheats easy, though, so if you ever ask me a question and I don't come back, it means I need to let the amplifier cool off. I got a problem with this amp.
Say, what kind of amp is it?
It's one of those Russian LD Moss amps. It's an EB-104, and I absolutely love it. I love the craftsmanship. I love the output devices. I love everything about it except the cooling system. If I talk for more than 4 minutes or so, it often cuts me out until it cools off.
Wow, that's unusual.
Yeah, I think it was designed for guys who are DX contesters or something, and they only make short transmissions. It's terrible for the Liberty Net.
Yes, extremely short. You're 5x9.
Yeah, really. I think that's what they designed it for. I like old-fashioned gear where you can just talk. You could talk for an hour and it would not burn up.
Yes, that's what I like too. So, sorry to hear that it does things like that. I would think they would have a quick way of repairing that, or at least you could supply some cooling air or cooling water, maybe.
It is a water-cooled amp, and it has fans that blow across the radiator for the water cooling. And I have just purchased some fans that have 4 times the CFM, and we'll see if that solves the problem.
Yes.
My problem is I have to get some time from all my busy activities of publishing and broadcasting and all that stuff to actually take half a day or a day and install the fans.
Yes, I know how it is. It's the press of business.
Absolutely. One has to do business.
Yes, that's not monkey business, just plain old hard nails business.
Yes, sir. Although I like a little monkey business every now and then, too.
Yes, that helps break the schedule up a little bit.
Absolutely. Well, great to hear you, Vic. I'm so happy. You must be gaining strength.
Well, I gained a little bit of strength, but not as much as I want. But if anyone out there knows of a remedy for loss of strength and loss of musculature due to sarcopenia or whatever cause, I'm certainly interested in it. And my email is always open to ideas. And the email here is wikk@netzero.net. So if you have any ideas on strengthening the muscle mass or increasing it, I'm interested. And that's about all I do now is research this stuff to try to repair my body and get rid of some of the aging effects that have ransacked my musculature. So anyway, sorry you have to go, but that's the way it is. And with that, I guess I'll turn it back to Steve, KA2PTE from W1WCR.
I'll stick around for a few more. Go ahead, Steve.
All right, Kevin, sounds good. W1WCR and WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, Linear has definitely got some issues there, but it sounds like the company that makes it over in Russia is at least receptive towards the issue, and I gave Kevin a couple of ideas to try regarding getting that information and better instinct that may fix that problem, because usually if the manufacturer is serious about their product, you know, they take something like this as an opportunity. You know, it's either a crisis or an opportunity. So if it's an opportunity, you get a solution going and you make the customer happy. And in this case, the customer knows probably what would even work as a solution. So if he's got the idea, all the guy that's making the gear has to do is point, I guess, whoever fabricated that heatsink concept for them and try to make a better one. And they could offer that as an accessory and that actually improves the product. So somebody that just doesn't want to do DX contacting and wants to make long transmissions, there's a mod, you know, the WB4AIO and KA2PTE long transmission mod, you know, if it would be called, whatever, you know, but doesn't sound like something, you know, that's too hard. It just, I guess it depends on, you know, how the Russian mentality approach to it is, I don't know, but the capitalist approach sort of is that way, you know, where you improve the product, you know, it's a win-win for both sides, so hopefully the Russians work that way as well. I don't know if I have any experience with the Russians but you guys are doing good here. The band's working pretty well, and Victor, I did get a little time to get a 220-volt line installed by a local electrician. So I have a 220-volt line right where I'm going to operate the power supply, the Thunderbolt. And this electrician that I got, he turned out to be a real good guy. He bought a receptacle to put on the end of the line cord for the power supply, but when he went to put it on, he kept stripping back the outer casing, and he said, you know, these three wires in there, they're just dry rotted. He says, every time I go to touch them, they fall apart, he shows me. So we had to, you know, get that line cord out of there. He supplied me another brand new 3 or 4 feet of cord. So I've been trying to, last week I opened up the bottom of the supply, and I went in there and I started to, I've taken the old cord out and I'm sort of soldering the new cord in there in between my sinus problem that I've been having with my health, which has been a pain in the neck. I'm sort of amazed at how, I get down to try to do something like this, you know, I can only do maybe a small amount of it and then the energy level just gets wiped out. I gotta go rest for a while, then I just get up again, then I just start over another wire, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous, you know, because I mean, I used to be able to get in there, I would usually have something like this done in maybe 4 hours top, you know, that's pushing it to the extreme, but, you know, to solder three wires in on a cable, you know, to have it take a week, that's just ridiculous, but, you know, then again, I got this full-time job, you know, that I work, besides this, so I guess that's, you know, soaking up a lot of the energy that is a factor in it. But I did make progress with that, and I was going to ask you a question about the Thunderbolt, because I was curious. I asked Greg K1YW that, you know, if we can bring a three Thunderbolt in the back without the placement form. I was wondering how the 400A tubes, I was wondering how to get their filters lit, and this guy was also asking me today how they get their drift
the question about the 4400s. I'm not sure that I know what the problem is, but the filament voltage for the 4400A's is right from the Thunderbolt chassis itself, I believe. There's no no filament transformer in the main power supply. But I haven't looked at that for decades, so it's very difficult for me to really comment properly on the thing, but there should be no problem in lighting up the 4400A's the way the system was set up originally, and I congratulate you on the 220 volt line. I think that's great to have that in, and you can have flicker-free operation with 220 volts. I used to try to run that on one side of the line on 120, but it would cause the lights in the house to flicker when I did that. Every time I modulated, the lights would flicker in rhythm with the speech. Yeah, unless you have a question here too, and that is the Liberty Net Review. What frequency and time is that, over?
Roger that. Yeah, we're doing the Liberty Net Review right now. It's on that GQ100 virtual ionosphere for the Windows operating system. I think I mentioned that to you a while ago before you got those health problems.
Removed, and I'm figuring the plate transformer maybe had the filament voltage derived on that, and I wasn't sure if maybe somebody put a separate filament transformer in there and hooked it up to the 120-volt plug input that's on the back of the Thunderbolt. I don't know, but it's been a while since you've been around, so I kind of lost track of what was going on, so figured I'd ask the guy that has the most experience with this interview. So back to you, W1WCR from KA2PTE.
Okay, I'm having some trouble copying. Your signal has decreased somewhat, so it makes it difficult. Plus, my ears are bad. And one of the things I'm trying to do is rejuvenate my hearing, and I'm working on that too. I've got a lot of work to do on this anti-aging stuff. One thing that you could do to help me is to put all this stuff in an email, and then I can properly answer any questions, and I can see exactly what you're saying, rather than being interrupted or broken up by static. So that should help me quite a bit. So anyway, there we are. So this Liberty Net review is going to be on this frequency, and after the main net on 3995.
I think what we're doing right now is we're doing it on Sunday mornings on this virtual ionosphere program, and I wanted to just switch to do it on the real ionosphere, just do it on 3995, but do it in the morning, you know, like 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning on 3995 kilohertz on the real ionosphere, not on this virtual ionosphere on the computer. But unfortunately, I could hear Steve perfectly on 3995 or vicinity of 3995 this morning at 10:30 or so in the morning. I could hear him just fine because with these low sunspot counts, you know, the daytime propagation is amazingly good on 75 meters. In fact, even on 160, there's daytime propagation, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But unfortunately, Steve has his station in a commercial area. It's a lot of businesses right next door to him almost. And one of them has some kind of a horrible buzzsaw that has a 10 over 9 noise all over 75 meters, and he couldn't hear me. So that was the problem. And we're sort of undecided. We have the informal Liberty Net on Sunday night, but we're sort of undecided if that's the right venue for playing our clips and commenting on the previous night's Liberty Net. We're thinking maybe it's better just to make brand new comments on the informal Liberty Net. So anyway, we're just trying to generate activity, and I think both Steve and I are very open to any ideas on how to do it. And what Steve asked you, Vic, was that he was wondering, he thought maybe the filament winding of the high voltage, the high voltage transformer in the Thunderbolt might have had a filament winding, but I don't think that's standard for higher power amplifiers like that. I think that would not be a normal thing to do. I know in lower power rigs they sometimes put a filament winding on the high voltage transformer, but I would think, and maybe you agree with me, that's very unlikely that they ever did that in the Thunderbolt. I think in the higher power gear, that's just about never done. W1WCR and KA2PTE, WB4AIO, still hanging in here for a few minutes.
Okay, real fine. That clarifies a lot of things. Thanks, Kevin. Originally, the way the Thunderbolt was designed, all of the power was generated inside its own chassis. The high voltage, the filaments, everything was self-contained. And it was only because the power transformer blew up that it now has an external power supply. But this external power supply that it now has is capable of putting out more power than the old setup had, and it puts out a higher voltage. So it has advantages to it. But the filaments were were the filament voltages were stepped down from the 220 volts inside the Thunderbolt chassis, and I think they still are. I think when you plug that into 220, you'll find that the 4400As will light up like a Christmas tree. So, also another item on the Thunderbolt, the fans on there are not the original fans that were used for cooling the tubes. The original fan was a dinky little fan that developed bearing noise and began to chatter, and actually it didn't prove to be terribly efficient in pumping air either. So as a result of that, I mounted those two largish muffin fans on the sides of the cabinet, and those always seem to provide enough cooling air so that there was no overheating possibility. So anyway, I think you'll have no problem lighting up the filaments. That should be right on board. The high voltage supply had, I believe, 866s mercury vapor rectifiers, which were lousy, and they were unreliable and caused all kinds of problems. So I went from 866s to the argon version of the 866, which has, I think, a slightly higher forward loss, but now was a lot more reliable in that the argon version didn't arc over like the mercury vapor version did. But then I replaced it with the high voltage selenium rectifiers, which is what's in there today. The filament lines are totally disconnected since there's no filament on the diodes. So you've got direct high voltage with no necessary filaments for rectifier tubes. Anyway, what develops will develop, and it's the practicalities of these situations that finally determine what we do after the main event. Some will stay, some won't, and depends on the ionosphere, on and on like that. But it's good to see the activity. I like activity. So I guess with that, I'll shoot it back to Kevin, WD4AIO from W1WCR.
Okay, great, Vic. W1WCR and the Informal Liberty Net with KA2PTE. This is WB4AIO. I probably will have to go soon. I've got my sweetheart waiting for me. But, man, I couldn't leave when you checked in. I had to stick around to talk to you, Vic. It's been many, 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 many months since I talked to you on the radio. Of course, we have talked on the phone, but it's something special. Really special to hear you on the radio, and I'm glad my system, despite the fact that it overheats, is putting in a big signal up in New Hampshire. That makes me very happy. I try to have an efficient antenna systems and good linear amplification and clean signals, and so I guess I'm at least somewhat succeeding, and that makes me very pleased. I think I'm going to post to the LibertyNet email list a diagram of this antenna system, which is pretty efficient and pretty easy to put up. I think I'm going to post – I sent it to Steve already, but I think I'm going to post it to the LibertyNet email list so others can see what I'm doing. And if they want to, maybe duplicate it. I was thinking maybe Steve could easily duplicate an inverted L antenna held up by trees and maybe gain some efficiency here on 160 and people would hear him better. And before I go, though, I just wanted to say that I've watched a number of Bill Falloon videos, and thank you very much, Vic. And here's somebody walking by that might want to say hello to you, Vic.
Say hello. Hi, Vic.
That's my wife, Meredith. So I think she got all excited when she heard that I heard you and I was talking to you on the radio. So back over to you, Vic. I'm going to have to go real soon, though. And Steve, thank you for your suggestions and thank you for running the informal Liberty Net. And I've had a great time. WB4AIO. Go ahead, Vic.
Okay, real fine. And hello, Meredith. Great to hear you. And greetings from New Hampshire. Thanks for checking in. And with that, I'll pass it right over to Steve.
Okay, Victor, W1WCR from KA2PTE. All right, Kevin, yeah, it was fun hearing you in here tonight. Good discussions, as always. And 7-3, enjoy the rest of your night. And have a productive week, I guess, is the best way to say it. And I'll catch up with you, I guess, during the week. I'll look for the emails going out to the LibertyNet resource. And, Victor, yeah, I will get an email together with some questions for you about Thunderbolt and other stuff like that. And that way it'll be better to communicate it that way. So maybe the band's starting to dip out a little bit here, and it might be a good time to just sign off and call it a night, because I could use some rest with this sinus infection giving me a pain in the neck every now and then. So I'll say 7-3 to you, Victor. Good hearing you in there, and hope your health stays in a positive direction. And look for an email from me during the week. So I'll say 7-3 from KA2PTE. Lovely New York, New England, United States, former United States of America, 7-3 from KA2PTE, and I'll leave it to you to wish the ships at sea.
Okay, Steve, very fine. Yeah, I guess I ought to probably be bidding the sack here, too. And, let's see what this thing is doing. I'm getting some standing waves here. Oh, hang on. I guess that's good enough. Anyway, been great to talk, and it's great to be back on the air again, albeit a bit briefly. One more comment on the Johnson Thunderbolt. The original design called for AB2 operation of the 400A, and that meant that you were drawing a small amount of grid current, a couple of milliamperes or whatever it was. I don't know what it was, but I converted it to AB1. So it should draw not quite zero, but pretty close to zero filament hour by grid current. So the grid current, the way she stands now, should be extremely low, and the operation of the unit should be extremely linear. So that's it for now. Anyway, 73 is all around. Great to hear everybody, and we'll look for you next time. KA2PTE and WB4AIO. This is W1WCR, now nodding away.
Okay, Vic, you really made my day. You absolutely made my day. I'm so happy to hear you back. And keep on the upward trend. You sound great. And I am keeping this recording forever. I recorded this QSO 73. And thank you, Steve, for all your help and your ideas on helping me with my cooling problem. 73 to both of you guys, and good night. WB4AIO in Western PA, closing down for the night.
W1WCR, Kilo Alpha 3, India Romeo.
I could hear somebody calling me, but I can't copy very well. The static is a little bit too high. Can you give your call slowly?
Kilo Alpha 3, India Romeo.
K-A-3-I-I-R. Whiskey 3 IIR, is that correct?
Kilo Alpha 3 IIR.
Okay.